Today, the debt pips are squeaking. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. We've released our June 2018 mortgage stress and default analysis update, and we see mortgage stress continuing to rise. Across Australia, more than 970,000 households are now estimated to be in mortgage stress, compared with last month's 966,000. This equates to 30.3% of owner-occupied borrowing households. In addition, more than 22,000 of these are in severe stress, and we estimate that more than 57,100 households risk 30-day default in the next 12 months. We expect bank portfolio losses to be around 2.8 basis points, although losses in Western Australia are higher at 5.2 basis points. We continue to see the impact of flat wages growth, rising living costs, and higher real mortgage rates. Our analysis uses the DFA Core Market Model, which combines information from our 52,000 household surveys, public data from the RBA, ABS and APRA, and private data from lenders and aggregators. The data is current to the end of June 2018. We analyse household cash flow based on real incomes, outgoings and mortgage repayments, rather than using an arbitrary 30% of income. Households are defined as stressed when net income or cash flow does not cover ongoing costs. They may or may not have access to other available assets, and some have paid ahead, but households in mild stress have little leeway in their cash flows, whereas those in severe stress are unable to meet repayments from current income. In both cases, households manage this deficit by cutting back on spending, putting more on credit cards, and seeking to refinance, restructure, or sell their home. Those in severe stress are more likely to be seeking hardship assistance and are often forced to sell. Our findings chime with other data too. For example, the latest S&P ratings release shows a rise in 90-day plus delinquencies in their spin series for April. For example, from the major banks, up from 0.51% in November 2017 to 0.64% in April. Also, the RBA updated their E2, Household Finances Selected Ratios, to the end of March, which was released at the end of June. So these statistics are yet to reflect the latest downturn in home prices and rising debt, but the trajectory is clear and it should be ringing alarm bells. First, the ratio of household debt to housing assets and total assets is going up, reflecting mainly falls in property prices. The rate is accelerating, confirming that while debt is still rising, values are not. Expect more ahead. The ratio of assets to income are falling, having been rising for several years, again reflecting falls in home prices. So while incomes are flat in real terms, asset values are falling faster. And finally, the killer. The household debt to income ratio continues higher, this despite the greater focus on lending quality and reduced mortgage power. The household debt-to-income ratio is now at 190.1, and that's a record. The housing debt-to-income is at 40.1, and the owner-occupied housing debt-to-income is 106.7. In fact, this is moving up more sharply as lenders have focused on owner-occupied lending. Combined, this shows the problem in the household sector. No surprise, then, that mortgage stress is going higher. Remember also that the debt-to-GDP ratio is highest in Australia compared with other countries. The inevitable result of too loose lending standards and easy loans is creating an intractable problem for many households, given the continued low income growth, high cost environment. This also means risks to lenders continue to rise. Our surveys show that more households are keeping their wallets firmly in their pockets as they try to manage ever tighter cash flows. This is economically significant, and it will be a drag anchor on future growth. The RBA's bet on sustained household consumption looks now pretty crook. The latest retail turnover data for May from the ABS reported a trend rise of 0.3%, the same as in April. Compared to May 2017, the trend estimate rose 2.8%, so still stronger than wages growth as people raid savings and put more on credit cards. Across the categories, department stores rose 0.5% on the previous month, thanks to sales being brought forward from June. Food retailing was up 0.4%, household goods and other retailing was up 0.2%, and clothing and footwear rose just 0.1%. Across the states, the Northern Territories rose 0.9%, ACT 0.6%, Tasmania 0.5%, New South Wales 0.4%, Victoria 0.3%, and Queensland and South Australia rose around 0.1%, and there was no change at all in Western Australia. Even now, household debt continues to climb to new record levels, and mortgage lending is still growing at an unsustainably strong rate, at 2 or 3 times income. Falling home prices just adds an extra piquance to the problem. We continue to see households having to cope with rising living costs, noticeably childcare, school fees and fuel, whilst real incomes continue to fall and underemployment remains high. Households have larger mortgages thanks to the strong rise in home prices, especially in the main eastern state centres, and now prices are slipping. And while mortgage rates remain quite low for owner-occupied borrowers, those with interest-only loans or investment loans have seen significant rises. And rate pressure will only increase as higher bank bill swap rates, BBSW, will force more lenders to lift their mortgage rates, as a number of smaller players have already done. This from NAB CEO Andrew Thorburn on ABC The Business recently.
You want to grow the bank. As I mentioned before, it's constrained times. Mm. The cost of funding is going up for banks. Are our mortgage rates going to rise? Inevitably.
Because Australia, through its banks, are a net importer of capital, to around 30% of funds coming from offshore debt holders into the bank and out to the economy, out to mortgage holders and out to small businesses. That's the transmission mechanism. We don't set that rate. And that's moving around all the time. So in a way, that's feeding into the cost of funds for the company
all
the time.
Well, like in the past couple of months, it's only been going up.
Yep.
And it's likely to only go up.
Yep.
So the likely answer is, given that's the largest source of your funding, our rates are all going to rise.
Well, there's no doubt that our margins are under pressure. You saw that our last half result where they dropped. But then you come into the competitive environment where we've got other major banks, regional banks, small banks, fintechs, all, you know, so we have to set our price that's competitive so that we attract new business.
So looking further at our stress data, we also estimate the probability of default by extending our mortgage stress analysis and overlaying economic indicators such as employment, future wage growth, and CPI changes. Our core market model also examines the potential of portfolio risk of loss in basis points and value terms. Losses are likely to be higher among more affluent households, contrary to the popular belief that affluent households are well protected. This is where the banks will see significant pain, in our view. Looking across the regions, New South Wales has 265,000 households in stress, up 1,000 from last month. Victoria has 267,000 households. Queensland, 172,000, up 8,000 from last month. And Western Australia has 130,000. The probability of default over the next 12 months rose, with around 11,000 in Western Australia, around 10,500 in Queensland, 14,000 in Victoria, and 15,000 in New South Wales. The largest financial losses relating to bank write-offs reside in New South Wales at $1.3 billion from owner-occupied borrowers, and in Victoria at $927 million, which equates to 2.1 and 2.8 basis points respectively. Losses are likely to be higher in Western Australia at 5.2 basis points, which equates to $761 million. The rise in mortgage stress does not occur in a vacuum. The revelations from the Royal Commission into misconduct in the banking, superannuation and financial services industry have highlighted deep issues in the regulatory environment, that have contributed to the household debt stress bomb. The most significant area of law discussed by the Commission has been responsible lending, yet most of the commentary on the regulatory framework has been superficial or poorly informed. For example, several commentators have strongly criticised the Australian Securities and Investment Commission, or ASIC, for not doing enough, but have failed to explain what ASIC has in fact done and what it ought to have done. But we suggest that APRA, and not ASIC, should be the primary focus of regulatory criticism. APRA has failed to adequately prepare Australia for future financial system instability and its prudential supervision of home lending standards and practices. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.